Looking in the Gospel of Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 to 7. The last section of chapter 6, Jesus sets before his disciples a series of contrasts. He sets before them four different contrasts. In each contrast, he sets two things side by side. There's a this that's contrasted with a that. Talks about treasure on earth, and he contrasts that with treasure in heaven. He talks about an eye that is clear, an eye that is good. He contrasts that with a bad eye. He talks about having mammon as a master, and he contrasts that with having God as master. He talks about being anxious for your life, for your own life. And he contrasts that with seeking the kingdom of God in his righteousness. In each case, Jesus makes the issue an either or. He does not talk in any of those four contrasts. He does not talk about learning to balance the two sides, learning to integrate the two sides together. Rather, he talks of doing one or the other. I think, in general, we tend not to like either ors. Americans, you know, we all like to have our cake and eat it too. We tend to want, or we attempt to make, almost everything into both ands. Can't we do both? But I think here that Jesus, you know, makes each one of those contrasts into an either or. And he talks of doing one or the other. So first, we just want to look at the text. So just as you can see it, if you have your own Bible, you can follow along. I'm in Matthew 6, we'll start at verse 19, but we'll also put it up here on the screen so that you can see it. So here's the first contrast between treasure on earth and treasure in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Second contrast is about a good eye and a bad eye. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Third contrast is about who's master. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then the fourth contrast is just about pursuits. You know, what is it you're chasing after, paying attention to, taking care about, worried about? For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory clothes himself like one of these. Not even Solomon. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So four sets of contrasts. He talks of treasure. Contrast treasures on earth with treasure in heaven. And it talks of how you either lay up treasure on earth or you lay up treasure in heaven. I mean, he doesn't encourage a balanced portfolio. Mm-hmm. Rather, it will be either here or there. And where you choose to lay up treasure, whether it's here or there, that's where your heart will be also. But you have to, you know, choose between either earth or heaven as far as where you put your treasure, and your heart will be found wherever you choose to put it. He identifies the problem with storing up treasure on earth. The problem is moss, rust, and thieves. So there's natural threats. There's fire and wind and water. I mean, we had powerful examples, of course, of that this week. Fire and water and wind can destroy earthly treasure. And then there's the ravages of time, the rust. Just time corrodes, wears things out, things get old, things decay. And then there's human threats. Humans can steal it, tax it, attack it, destroy it. I mean, if you want to know if any particular treasure that you have, if it's an earthly treasure or not, just ask yourself, can it be affected by natural causes? Can time affect it? Can human interference affect it? If the answer to any of those questions is yes, it's an earthly treasure. Our earthly treasure is suspect to the moth and the rust and the thieves. And Jesus advises, rather than earthly treasure, to lay up treasure in heaven. And you have to forego the laying up of treasure on earth in order to lay up treasure in heaven. So that's the first contrast. The next contrast is between a good eye and a bad eye. Jesus says that the eye is the lamp of the whole body. How you see things, how you look at things, will affect all of you. It will affect your whole life. I hope that you have experienced encountering another person who just sees it differently in some area, that they look at something with different eyes than you do. Of course, there's lots of examples of that in current political happenings, a lot of the partisanship that's rampant in our society. You realize kind of like people look at things with different eyes. Jesus says if you see it wrong, you're in big trouble, because your whole body will be dark. Just one example. My complaint, often against movies, I am not much bothered, well, I'm not in favor of, but the typical complaint against movies of either the violence or the sex or the bad language, that's not my complaint against movies. My complaint against movies is usually about the eyes. It's how the movie looks at things. And how things are looked at, I think, is often not light, but dark. The question that often should be asked is not, are you seeing it? Because usually the answer to that is, yes, you're seeing it. And, of course, almost everybody thinks that what they're seeing is accurate and correct. So the question is not, are you seeing it? Rather, the question is your eye any good? Powerful examples of that whole dynamic can be found in the scriptures in Jesus' interaction and dealings with the scribes and the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders. Because Jesus looks at things, and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees look at things with different eyes. So how do they see understanding the scriptures? The Sadducees, well, we understand the scriptures. That's our field of expertise. I mean, we are skilled, we're the experts in scriptures. We understand the scriptures. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand scriptures. You err, not understanding the scriptures. They're looking at it with different eyes. What does it mean to be enslaved? What does it mean to be free? Jewish leaders kind of like, we've never been enslaved to anybody. Jesus thought they were enslaved. In a different perspective, different eyes on the situation. What about the Sabbath? What's the Sabbath made for? What fulfills the Sabbath? They had completely different understandings. And you could go on. So, just powerful example that the eyes that Jesus has and the eyes that the Jewish leader has, they're different eyes. All of us make choices about eye clinics. You make choice. You make a choice. I make a choice. You make choices about either things that make your eye good or things that make your eye bad. So all of us make choices about eye clinics. So that's the second contrast. The third contrast is the human person can have only one master. You can't multitask. You can't serve two. You can't have a weekend master and a weekday master. You can't have a daytime master and a nighttime master. You have to choose only one. And you have to choose between God and mammon. One of those will be your master. The other one you will try to master. So that third contrast is there can be only one, and you have to choose either between God or mammon. And the fourth contrast is you can't worry about everything. You can worry about, you can take care of your own life, or you can learn how to entrust your own life to the Lord and worry about and seek and take care of things of the kingdom and the righteousness of God. So that's the fourth contrast. You can't worry about everything. You can't worry both about your life and the kingdom. You have to worry about one or the other. At first, when I just was reading through it and thinking about this, I thought I would just probe and consider encountering these either-ors in our daily lives. What does that look like? What might it look like to encounter kind of a choice between either laying up treasure in heaven or laying up treasure on earth? What's involved in kind of an eye clinic that helps your eye versus an eye clinic that gives you a bad eye? Where and when might you encounter that choice between am I going to serve God or am I going to serve mammon? And I was going to try to give some examples, kind of like where you're perhaps encountering that either or. But I decided not to consider much how and where these contrasts are encountered. Though I do want to say that you will encounter these either-ors. You will definitely, for sure, encounter these either-ors. I think the things that Jesus contrasts here represent forks in the road. Forks that have come to you, forks that will come to you. And when you get there, you must go one way or the other. Perhaps when you get to the fork, it'll be very dramatic and very clear. Maybe there'll be a wide angle on the two roads. They go almost opposite directions from each other. So there's like a big divergence. Perhaps when you get to the fork in the road, it'll feel a lot more uncertain and a lot more murky. Maybe it's just a very narrow angle, like the two roads almost run parallel with each other for what looks like a long ways. But there are forks. And you and I, all of us, will take them. You're going to put your treasure somewhere. And you can't put it in both earth and in heaven. So somewhere you face that fork. Your eye is going to be the lamp of your body. And your eye is either going to be good or it's going to be bad. Can't be both. And so you'll face that fork. It gives you this kind of eye or that kind of eye. You're going to have one master. You can't have two. You're going to have one. I'm going to have one. It's either going to be God or mammon. So you'll face that choice. You're going to either seek after your own life or you're going to seek after the kingdom. You're going to worry about your own life, you're going to worry about the kingdom. So there are forks for all of us, and you will take them. So, again, I thought I would just think about what does it look like when you encounter a fork? And, you know, what might be an example of it? But instead, what I would like, that's important, by the way, but what I would like to do instead is just reflect. So let's just kind of sit back and think about it. I just want to reflect for a few minutes, not on how and where we encounter the forks in the road, I want to simply reflect on the experience of having forks in the road. What it is that you experience that the road has forks in it. What is it like to live in a universe where you have forks in the road? That's what I want you to think about. What's the experience of living in a universe where the roads have forks in them? Where the roads have either ors, where you have to make a choice, either this one or that one. I think Jesus is telling his disciples, you can't do it all. You can't travel all paths. You can't, I can't, nobody can travel all paths. That in itself is a very important lesson. You can't live your life all the ways that life can be lived. You can't do it. There are central things of life where you can't have it both ways. There are central things where you can't play both sides. There is indeed a road that leads to life. There is a road that leads to destruction. They are different roads. And, of course, no matter which road you choose, no matter which side of the fork you choose when you come to a fork, there are going to be others who choose the other side. There are going to be those who choose differently. So you live in a place where kind of like others have made different choices at the forks than you have. So I just want to reflect, kind of like, what's it like? What kind of experience do you have that indeed we live in a universe, we have lives that face forks in the road, face either ors. So they're just reflections. Reflections about experiencing an either or. Reflections about experiencing a fork in the road. In my response to the forks in the road, certainly are in part are going to reflect my own temperament, my own personality. So your own experience when you stand at a fork, your own response will probably be a little bit different than mine. So I'm not kind of insisting that your responses and your experiences like mine. But when you encounter a fork, you will have to decide about something that's either A or B. And it's important to handle the experience that comes with that, of having to decide between A or B, and not both, one or the other. So I just get to share a few things that pop to my mind about my own experience when I encounter forks. Sometimes forks stir in me great thanksgiving and joy. They really do. There is a road. The end of it has great and abiding treasure. That makes me glad that there is such a road. Makes me glad that you can have a good eye. You can take a road that helps you have a good eye and see it accurately. There is a road upon which you can walk where you really are seeking the kingdom, seeking the righteousness of God. So it makes me glad that there are such roads that lead to such great things, abiding treasure, seeing it as it really is, seeking the kingdom of God. I mean, how cool is that? So that makes me glad. And makes me glad and makes me thankful that in his grace the Lord has revealed it to me. You know, that I know that there are such roads. He's helped me know that there are really indeed possibilities of laying up treasure in heaven or of serving God. He's caused me to know that a human being can seek first the kingdom of God. I mean, he could have left me in the darkness, could have left me clueless, but he has set that possibility before me. He's revealed it to me. I'm thankful for that. So I am glad that there are good roads. True despair is when a good road either does not exist or you can't get there. You know, either the good thing itself does not exist, you know, there's no heaven to lay up treasure in, or there's no road to get there. That's despair. But I'm glad that there are good roads with great things at the end. And I'm thankful to have been invited to walk on those good roads. So often I stand at the fork. It makes me glad. Thank you, Jesus, that you helped me know, take a path that leads to life. So that's a response I have. Sometimes forks make me doubt. often I'm not sure, I'm not certain that I'm taking the right way. I mean, I admit the possibility maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's very different than I think. That could be so. For me personally, I'm very confident that treasure can be laid up in heaven. There might be some who struggle with doubting whether heaven's even there to lay up treasure in, or that it can be done. That's not my issue. I'm confident that treasure can be laid up in heaven. But where I struggle, it's possible to have like the right perspective. Yes, heaven's there, treasure can be laid up in there, but perhaps I'm not executing it very well. So maybe I'm right in perspective and wrong in execution. Maybe I have forsaken the world, maybe I've turned away from things in the world, but only to end up falling short of being able to attain the heavenly. So it could be so. Maybe there's some fatal flaw in me that's even if you go after the good thing, you won't get there. Maybe you're going to try to choose the high road, but you always fall off of high things. Yeah, so there is a high road, but maybe I'm going to fall off. Forks make me say, often, I'm not sure, and I don't know. So at times I wrestle with doubt. Okay, I'm not taking door number one, but am I really sure that I'm doing a good job at taking door number two? I don't know. So often my own experience at forks in the road is some doubt. Forks in the road often make me sad. You encounter others who make different choices sometimes in life. You encounter the person who's going after earthly treasure and getting it. It's working okay for them. There's multiple times in the psalm where the psalmist is experiencing kind of like the little of the righteous in the abundance of the wicked. When, if you ever get there, where you're in the righteous category, but it's with little, and you're looking over there at the abundance of the wicked, I don't know how you respond. It makes me sad. There's always kind of like, well, maybe they're right. There's kind of the doubt part. But it makes me sad that there are risks. Genuine risk. Forks mean that there are indeed other roads. That's what it means that by definition. And it's kind of sad that you have to take the risk. And again, you encounter some people that have taken the other road and kind of like, I don't know. There's some doubt there, but there's also sadness. How is life that you have to risk so much? Maybe it doesn't make you sad. Maybe it makes you afraid. I'm one of those people, if I was stuck in the cave and two grizzlies walked in the front door, maybe that would make you afraid. Probably, it wouldn't make me afraid. It would make me sad. You might be afraid of being killed by a grizzly. I would be more, I'm going to be killed by a grizzly. What a bummer. So, for me, it doesn't often, forks don't stir fear, but they're, sadness. Here's the risk. And there are also, there's real costs. Roads are costly. There are things, indeed, that are left behind. There are things that are forsaken, things that are not pursued. There's opportunities not taken. There are rewards not known. Another kind of part of the sadness that I sometimes feel at forks in the road is, especially when the fork deals with choosing between the heavenly and the earthly, is forks always remind me that the earthly doesn't last. Of course, part of the encouragement at time not to choose the earthly road is precisely know that it doesn't last. That's encouragement to choose the other road. But forks remind me that earthly things, whether pursued or not, they don't last. And it's kind of sad that earthly things don't last. Those who lay up treasure on earth, they won't keep it long. Give them 100 years, they won't have it anymore. Even if the earthly things get added to us, because you're seeking first the kingdom of heaven, those things that get added, they're not going to last either. Because earthly things don't last very long. It's kind of sad, isn't it? And forks remind me Even if you choose the earthly road, it's not going to last. But sometimes that's almost a reason to choose it, right? There's not only opportunities not taken, but opportunities that are soon gone forever. I think in my own life, there's lots of roads that I can't take now, even if I wanted to. It's too late. I think I'll raise my kids in Michigan. Too late for that, right? There's an opportunity gone, a road that can no longer be taken. So there's often the reality of the risks, the reality of the costs, just how Earth is, those things kind of at forks in the road often combine to make me sad that it's like this. Not only for me, but for others. Forks in the road can tempt me to fret. I like that word. There's multiple places in the Psalms where the psalmist says, fret not yourself because of evildoers, or fret not yourself because of wicked folks. Forks can cause fretting. You ever make a decision and then revisit the decision? And then revisit again the next day? And you go back and forth, and you're antsy, you know, and you toss and turn about it. You churn on it. You just, you know, mull it over and over again. You wring your hands a lot, and you whine about it. All that stuff's called fretting. And the fact that you have to choose between this or that, you know, you can whine about it and kind of like, A, B, A, B, B, A. No, wait, hold it. I'm going to pray about it. Okay, I prayed about it. B. Wait, and pray about it again. You know, after the second prayer, I think I'll go with A. I mean, by fretting, you can actually waste a lot of time and a lot of energy. You're all looking really innocent, but you maybe have done it too. You can camp out at a fork for years, reviewing the pros and cons as you understand them at the moment of each side. So roads can tempt you to fret. They tempt me to fret. And one other thing, forks in the road have been places where I've had to learn the experience of going forward without completely settling the issues. Whether at the fork you hold to your course or whether you change courses at the fork in the road, you can't settle all of the issues. Can't be done. You have to choose a course, you have to pursue a course, while saying about many things, Lord alone knows. If you wait until you kind of like have settled all the issues, you'll stay right there at that fork until you die, which itself will be a way of choosing. So you have to decide at critical either ors, at forks in the road, with limited knowledge, with partial knowledge. And you can even know that. You know there's many things, Lord knows. But you have to learn how to go forward without completely settling all of the issues that are there. So forks in the road cause me, at least, to experience a variety of things. I suspect they perhaps cause you, too, to experience a variety of things. Maybe some of them are similar to mine. Maybe you have a different set. But the either-ors of the Christian life bring home to me the reality and the nature of our situation. Roads do diverge. And you can't do all of them no matter what. All of us will have to take Yogi Berra's advice. When you get to a fork in the road, you're going to have to take it. All of us have to do that. So you will take forks in real and actual, you know, situations in your life. I'm telling you, they will come to you. They do come to you. I mean, you take forks. You make decisions about them. And of course, the way that you choose has consequences. If you lay up treasure in heaven, you will have less treasure on earth. That's how it works. I don't know how for sure that will happen, but if you lay up treasure in heaven, you will have less treasure on earth. Maybe you'll have sold the things. Maybe you wouldn't have bought the things in the first place. Maybe you've given the money to charity instead. But if you lay up treasure in heaven, you'll have less treasure on earth, and vice versa. you come to a fork in the road and you take one side, it means that you'll learn to care about and think about different things. You'll look at things differently than others look at them. You'll have different eyes. There'll be times when you're wondering about the kingdom and the person that's next to you is wondering about fall fashion. You know, you're just worried about different stuff. You might discipline yourself for godliness while the person next to you is disciplining him or herself for physical things. But you're disciplining yourself for something different. So there's consequences. Next week, we'll linger here a little bit. I just want to explore a little bit how forks in the road work, especially when forks in the road are between the heavenly and the earthly. Because a fork chosen in pursuit of Christ, a fork chosen in pursuit of the kingdom of God, doesn't eliminate earthly things and earthly needs from any of our lives. It doesn't eliminate those things that are pursued and sought and chosen by others. It doesn't completely eliminate those things from our life. If you lay up treasure in heaven, it does not mean you'll have no earthly possessions whatsoever. It doesn't mean that. If you seek first the kingdom, it doesn't mean you will have no clothes or nothing to eat. That from here on in you won't eat anymore. Oh, you maybe will do that. It'll be a short-lived, you know, seeking of the kingdom on earth. About 40 days, probably. If you serve God, if He is your master, it doesn't mean you won't have any finances. It doesn't mean that. So the choosing of a fork in the road, even though it's an either-or, doesn't eliminate from life or the happenings of life kind of like earthly things. So we want to explore a little bit about how does that work? How does it work to choose heaven while you live on earth? What does it mean to pursue the heavenly while having earthly needs and earthly happenings? We'll do that next week. For today, I just want you to think about the fact that life has forks in the road, that you face either-ors, and that you have to choose when you get to those forks. You will get to a fork in the road that makes you choose about where are you going to locate your treasure. This way, you're going to locate it on earth. This way means you're going to locate it in heaven. And you have to choose. You'll hit a fork in the road. Eye clinic this way for such and such an eye. Eye clinic this way for such and such an eye. And you have to choose. What kind of eye do you want? A clear one or a bad one? It'll be the lamp for your whole body, for your whole life. But you have to choose. There will be a fork in the road about who are you going to bow down to? Who's in charge here? Who's the master? Is it God or is it mammon? It can only be one. So when you choose one of those roads, kind of like a lot of things left behind on the other road. And you'll hit forks in the road about what are you going to worry about? What are you going to be anxious for? What are you going to take care about? You give your attention to. You got your own life. Lots of happenings there. Lots of needs. You can choose that. Or you can choose the kingdom. So all of us, life presents us with those forks, those either-ors, and you have to choose. And probably you'll experience a variety of things when you stand there at those forks. Maybe you'll feel joy. Maybe you'll feel thankfulness. You know, maybe you'll have some doubts. Maybe there'll be some sadness or some fear. Maybe you'll fret over it. You'll look around and survey others of what they have done and what they've chosen. And, well, I don't know. And you worry and fret and you wring your hands. Maybe it helps you know that you have to decide amidst limitations. You don't know everything. You're understanding of many things is partial. And you have to choose the fork in the road with limited knowledge and partial understanding. I think Jesus sets before his disciples a simple thing, kind of like God's made the universe with forks in the road for humans, and you can't take them all. The consequences, you know, no matter which one you walk down. I encourage you, whatever experience comes to you, and maybe if you're like me, it's a multiple of things, learn to handle the experience well, that you might choose wisely at those forks. And again, I haven't tried to zero in on what the fork might look like for you. When do you actually face it? And when does it arise? I know that it arises. Maybe you recognize it when it comes up. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's like a crystal clear choice between God or the world. Maybe it's kind of fuzzy and murky and it's hard to decide. But I know that they come. Know that they come to you. Probably you have in the past, will in the future. I want to encourage all of us. When you get there, that you say something along the lines of give me Jesus. You can have all the other stuff. Give me Jesus. So we want to close the service, sharing communion together. And we remember as we partake, a body broken for us and blood poured out. I would just encourage you today to let it be for you, Lord, at those forks, at those either ors, I want to choose you. I want to remember you.